Today on Real Life Radio.
There is a way to know God that transcends some physical manifestation, a miracle or observation. It is this intimate getting alone with God in the moment of your blindness, and you feel his face and you say, Lord, now I know you. I know you, God. I don't understand, but I know you. And you've said enough to me that I know that you're my God, and I'm your sinner redeemed by your blood and by your wonderful saving power.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, When It Looks Like God Doesn't Care. Now, this series called The Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 8, we see how our feelings and our minds at times struggle with if God is really there. You see, when it looks like God doesn't care, we need to put the Lord back into our circumstances to realize that He is really with us, and we need to be careful how we hear what He has to say. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when it looks like God doesn't care, we need to discern that He is always near. The God of the Bible is not found on some shelf. He's found in the very issues of our lives. Now, with his message called When It Looks Like God Doesn't Care, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Bring that thought under the captivity. Put it in the cage where it belongs. It's nuts. And homes get ruined this way because you don't bring your thoughts under the captivity. Some temptation comes on your head. Grab it and say, Jesus, open the cage. Here it comes. I will not think that thought. And fight it. I'm dead serious. I'm not kidding. Thoughts, driving thoughts. They'll drive us crazy. They'll rip us off. Another thing are the winds of emotion. They'll blow us away. The winds of emotion in a storm. Jesus rose up and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. It's as though the sea had ears. Why do I say that? Because this is very unusual. Remember the scene of the weather pattern, how that comes down through Mount Hermon onto the lake? That normally happens. Jesus didn't say a normal word that would have meant, wind just stopped. He personified it. Jesus used a word that is be muzzled. Be muzzled now. It's the same exact command that Jesus gave when he told demons to be quiet. Same word, same Greek word. Today, in a colloquialism of our day, modern day language of our street, it would be this. Back off. You don't tell a storm to back off. You don't walk up to a fire hydrant and say, back off. It's a fire hydrant. It's nothing. Unless you're talking to something. You see, Jesus personified it. He said, back off. Peace be still. And instantly, not quick, not soon, the Greek means instantaneously, the wind stopped and the waves were over. It was calm. More on that in a moment, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, be anxious for nothing. Who has not read that verse? I mean, you can get a fortune cookie. I think it's even in fortune cookies. It's everywhere. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Be happy. Based upon Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. That means we're not supposed to worry about anything. When we worry, we are assuming a responsibility that was not intended to be ours. It's God's business. My kids, when they were little, did not worry about the mortgage. They didn't walk by 3 years old. Oh my gosh, the mortgage is coming. How are we going to make the car payment, Dad? It's exactly like that for a Christian. We're not to be walking around worrying about stuff that God never intended us to worry about. And so, be anxious for nothing. That should be the end of it. But he goes on. He says, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, I don't know, but it seems to me, unless you have perfect kids, perfect husband, perfect wife, seems to me you should be praying all the time. How's your marriage? Well, it says get together and pray. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will garrison, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, if your marriage is perfect and your kids are perfect and all that and everything's perfect, then do not come to prayer meetings at Calvary Chapel. We got them all over the place all the time. If your life is so dandy, then just stay home. But you know what? If you want to have God move in your marriage and in your husband or in your wife or in your kids or in your parents for that matter, get to a prayer meeting and cry out to God. Unless things are just too great. And if they're that great, call me. I want to hang out with you. I mean, I could use a break. It'd be great living in a perfect house, perfect world. Winds of emotion will blow us away every time. Also this, the flood of doubt will bring us to despair. The flood of doubt will absolutely bring us to despair. Jesus turns to them and says, where's your faith? And this is terrifying in a sense. Let me tell you why. Because what happens between verse 24 and 25 is hair-raising. When he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, it says that it ceased and there was a calm. You guys, the calm was so calm that the word here implies that the calm was just as terrifying as the storm. It was an abnormal calm. It's like, oh man, we're gonna die. And Jesus says, back off. It was eerie calm, not human calm. I want to suggest to you, based upon that verse, Philippians 4:6, that the calm that he brings passes all human understanding. Maybe in your storm, when you turn to him and cry out, it comes that fast. I thank God he does that. He says, where's your faith? Charles Spurgeon says that when we are doubting God, we are putting faith in the devil. Isn't that a great way to look at it? When you're doubting God, you're putting faith in the devil. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. It seems that this unbelief was more scary to Jesus than the storm. Where is your faith? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's true. And you're doing that right now as you take in the Bible, right here, right now. Your faith will increase, but faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But listen, as a Christian, faith needs to go. Faith needs to get up and move out of my life. It comes by hearing the word of God. But then listen, the word of God takes root and I got to go. You and I have got to go. We got to live for God. Faith must be tested before it can be trusted. I wrote recently in an article and I recounted this story that I'd just seen on the military channel where the U.S. Navy was launching a secret ship that we made. It's brand new. Well, it was brand new. Top secret. Everybody's there, congressmen, senators, the shipbuilding yard, everything. It's all under this massive roof in Seattle. And they go to launch the ship. It's a spy ship. They go to launch the ship, and the ship goes, and everyone's clapping. And the ship goes and goes and goes right underwater. It's gone. It's gone. They went, all right. It's so secret. Maybe it's a submarine. I don't know. But you know what happened? Somebody left the doors open on the ship. Down below, and there it went. Tested. Why did I bring that up? Oh yeah, because faith tested. They had the faith to bring to build the boat, but it had to be tested, and it obviously failed the test. But listen to this very quickly, and I know I'm running into some time here, but you know what? Matthew 8 records the same event. But you guys, I had to laugh, and if this doesn't bless you, then that's okay. But it made me laugh. In Matthew 8:22, let me read it to you exactly how it appears. Matthew 8:22, it's the same event. But Jesus said to him, he's speaking to a man there, follow me, let the dead bury the dead. The man had said, I want to follow you, Jesus, but I got to wait around till my dad dies. Jesus says, listen, let the dead bury the dead, man. You're going to follow me? Let's go. So the disciples are all there. Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. Now, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. He told the guy, follow me. Now the disciples are following him. And the last words they heard him say was, let the dead bury the dead. So when I think about doubt, how does doubt hear God speak? So they got into the boat and suddenly there was a great tempest arose in the sea and the boat was about to be covered with the waves. It's the same event. Guess what? How does doubt hear the word of God? It goes like this. What was the last thing you heard him say? He said to that guy, let the dead bury the dead. That's what I thought he said. Now, wait a minute. Andrew, what did you hear him say? I heard him say after that, I heard him say, get in the boat, we're going to go across. Okay, you heard what? Let the dead bury the dead. What'd you hear? We were going over. James, how did you understand it? We're going to get in the boat. It's going to go over. We're going to die. That's how doubt works. What did he say? What did Jesus say? We're going to get in the boat. It's going to turn over and we're going to die. That's how we think. Listen, we need to know him. Verse 25 tells us that when it looks like God doesn't care, the truth is we need to know the Lord who is our God. You guys, he's on our side. He's for us. And he's the God of the Bible. I'm so glad about that. It says, verse 25, they were afraid and marveled. Now they're no longer concerned about the storm. It's great. They're freaking out about the storm. Ah, we're going to die. Peace, be still. And then they turn and they're looking at Jesus. Who's this? Wow. This being afraid is not afraid of death. They're in absolute awe of whom they're in the presence of. They should have had that thought before they got on the boat. And they're marveling. Their eyes were wide, their jaws hanging open to gawk. And can you imagine how still and quiet it was? That had to be so incredibly weird. He's the God of the Bible. Jesus shows his divine power over nature and the devil. But they're to know him. He's the God of the Bible. And the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Listen, Philippians 3, 10. 7 to verse 10, but verse 10 is what I want to look at. That I may know him, said Paul, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might be conformed to the image of his death. That's Philippians 3, 7 to 10. Philippians 3, 10 is that I may know him. You guys, that word know in the Greek means gnosko in the Greek. It means this. It means to know intimately, absolute confidence without any reservations. Listen, it's also been interpreted. Are you with me? Listen, it means to feel the lines of the face. To feel the lines of the face. It's the word that's used for people who are blind. When someone's blind, what do they do if they want to know you? You've got to go to them, you got to sit still, and they feel your face. They touch your face. And in their mind, listen, they are forming a picture image of their touch. And they've got it. And a blind person can say, you're beautiful. Wow. Listen, that's the word that Paul said. I want to know him. The power of his resurrection, and also the fellowship of his sufferings. In the midst of this storm, what is going on here? Jesus takes them on a field trip to take the word of God down into their living, active lives. Because in the midst of it all, what was he trying to communicate? That they would know him, to reach out and touch his face. Paul the apostle, on the road to Damascus to go arrest Christians before he was converted, gets knocked off his donkey, remember, by the appearance of Christ. What happened to his eyes? Anybody remember? He became blind. Scales were placed upon his eyes. He was led by the hand to Ananias' house, and he was discipled, and the Lord spoke to him that you're going to be a great man of God for me, and the scales fell off, and Paul became a dynamo for God. I argue this. There is a way to know God that transcends our request. Oh, God, I don't see you in this. If you just show me your face, I'll be okay. Listen, seeing his face is not believing. That's not going to do it. There is a scene, there is a way to know God that transcends some physical manifestation, a miracle, or observation. It is this intimate getting alone with God in the moment of your blindness, and you feel his face, and you say, Lord, now I know you. I know you, God. I don't understand, but I know you. And you've said enough to me that I know that you're my God, and I'm your sinner redeemed by your blood and by your wonderful saving power. And you, by prayer, are touching his face. When you pray, Christian, touch his face, so to speak, in his very nature. Oh, God, I know you're loving. I can sense the smile on your face. God, when I'm hurting, I know that you care for me. And it's beyond. You take the word of God and you pray, and Paul says, I want to know him. Touch the lines of his face. We have to have trials. We've got to have difficulties. We've got to be blind at times and trust him completely. And we reach out in the darkness and he's there. And if you don't know this, then I feel sorry for you. If you've never gone through pain or suffering, then you don't know this. That's why Paul says, I want to know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Why would Paul ever embrace hardship? Because he knew on the other side of hardship is a great, great relationship with the Lord. Very quickly, know the Lord. He is your God. He's the Lord of all the earth. Lord of all the earth. They said to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water to obey him. And I have tons of scripture that time doesn't allow me to give you, but he's the Lord of all the earth. And if he's the Lord of the earth, my friend, he can be your faithful God too. He can take care of your life. And then finally, even the winds and the water obey him. And I thought about this. The winds and the water obey him. I wish I obeyed him like the winds and the water obey him. You know what? He commanded the water and the waves to obey him. And then I thought to myself, Jesus, I wish that you would command me. Just snap your fingers, Jesus, and make me obedient. I want to be obedient. I just can't stand my flesh that goofs me up. Just snap your fingers, Jesus, and make me obedient. You know what his answer is to you and I? No, not going to do it. I can command the earth I made and the heavens that I conduct. But you, it's all about relationship with you. Yeah, you got to want to. Do you want to be near me, Jack? You want to be with me? I do, Lord, but I'm sick of this flesh. Yes, I know. Kind of stormy, isn't it? Yeah, that's all right. It's okay. You're not in heaven yet. I'm with you. I'm going to get you through this stuff. But God, your word's enough for me. Jack, I want you to get in the boat and go over to the other side. You're not going to go under. You might feel like it. You might think it. Your emotions will lie to you and cheat you. Your thoughts may drive you so far off course. Don't go there. Do my word. Keep the rudder on the compass. You'll be fine. Go against everything you feel in life. Stick to the course. And they made it to the other side. I told you this before. I'm sorry if I'm repeating this. He's the Savior of our soul. And Jesus, though he knows everything about us, he's removed, listen, he's removed from being swayed by our feelings and emotions. It is my prayer that your theology is not an emotional-based theology. If it is, you are really messed up bad because your feelings dictate the decisions you make regarding your life. And you'll crash. Who is this that even the wind and the waves? You can close your Bible. We're all done. Our feelings and our thoughts can kill us. In 1981, I was learning how to fly an airplane out of John Wayne Airport. I was with my instructor, and it was the first night flight. You have to take night flights, and here on the West Coast, it's a great place to learn because we have so many great challenges. The traffic, for one thing, the radio, the ocean, the weather, smog and fog. It's great. Now watch this. On a moonless night, no moon, we took off and flew straight up between Newport and Catalina, pitch black. And my instructor said, okay, I want you to turn left to this heading, turn right to this heading. I want you to go up, level off, go down, level off. And you go through these things, okay? But the windshield is completely black. You can't see stars and you can't see the water. It's all black. And let me tell you something. When you're doing that after a while, especially when you go from one turn to the next turn, your body literally begins to scream from the inside out. Pull up! Pull up! You're going down! We're gonna crash! You're going down! Can't you feel you're going down? And let me tell you something. If you could bet on it, you would bet I'm going down. By the way, this is how JFK died, Junior. You know what he did? He took his eyes off his instruments and he went with what he felt. And he rolled the plane over and went straight in. You guys, when you're flying like that, when it's pitch black, you've got to stick to the instruments. They'll never lie to you. your body will be screaming and you're flying that plane and you're going through your work and you're just going against everything that's screaming. Leave your husband, dump your wife, throw your kid away, bite your dog. Keep your eye on God and you'll make it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, every one of us would confess today that when we have gotten sideways in life, it's because we did it our way. We took our eyes off of you, Lord. When it looks like you don't care, and it looks like you're nowhere near us, we can all confess after we come out of the storm that you were right there the whole time. Lord, in this life, as we walk with you, may we believe that you are just as near to us as the day we give our heart to your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, to the moment we enter into your presence in heaven above. That's a hard one to take. That's real, though. For you said that you dwell in us. You're amazing. And Father, I pray this morning that if anyone does not know this wonderful relationship with you, not TV Christianity, not storybook Christianity, not hot tub Christianity, the real deal. Jesus Christ, day in, day out, forevermore, to walk with God, the author and finisher of our faith, the bishop of our souls. Lord, if no one needs to hear this, then thank you. But if there's one person that needs to say yes to your Son, Jesus, to have their sins forgiven and their lives made anew, to begin now their life by getting in the boat, may they decide to do that now. Father, we ask that they would make that decision to say yes. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, right where you're at right now, my friend, you can say yes. Jesus knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what you've done, and he wants you anyway. Isn't that great? And we want to invite you into the kingdom of God too. So right where you're at, say to him in your heart, let it fall from your lips if you want. Say something like this, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me now. And I want to get into your boat, Lord. I don't want to sink. Forgive me. Put your spirit in my life, God. I want to live for you. I want to know you. Calm the storm of my life. And if you're saying yes to Jesus right now about that, then listen, grab me or grab any one of the pastors today and tell us, I made that decision for Jesus today. You'll never regret it. But if today you're saying no to him, it's my loving prayer to you. I hope you don't rest day or night until you give up and yield. Don't refuse such love. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called When It Looks Like God Doesn't Care. We're glad you took the time to be with us today here on Real Life Radio. You know, this message today is just part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Have you ever had that feeling that your future is behind you? We often forget about the life that's waiting for us. Instead of focusing on heaven and the freedom we have to pursue Christ, our minds are only on the challenges that we're facing right now. Well, if that sounds like you, we have a great way for you to stay focused on Christ. It's Pastor Jack's desire that your relationship with the Lord takes on a whole new level, and downloading the Real Life mobile app is a great place to start. Everything that Pastor Jack has to offer media-wise is right there on the app, including Real Life TV, podcasts, live streams, and even our very own Real Life radio broadcasts. You need encouragement? Check out Pastor Jack's messages, Bible studies, and weekly devotions. Maybe you're looking to connect. We'd love to hear from you, or you can connect with Pastor Jack on social media if you'd like. It's all right there at the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app. You can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app at the App Store and from our website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.